I want to ask you something. How many of you used the church Bible reading schedule, at least some, this year? Raise your hand. All right. How many of you would like to see us do it again? Okay. That answers the question. There we go. Praise God. We're getting close to the end of this now. Obviously, you've seen it. And one of the things I love about the message tonight is it brings us to a place where, you know, we're going to get challenged a little bit. We're going to hear the Lord speaking to us through Israel. But anyway, we've got to get there before we get there. So let's start there. Once again, let's go to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad we can pray? God doesn't give us a ticket to heaven and say, see you when you get here. He's here. I love that. You know, I mentioned this morning that there was something that I read this last week that just, it was like fresh oil. And the thing was this: the Holy Spirit of God abides in me. You stop and think about that. I mean, God, it isn't, hey, God! No, it's, thank you, Lord. He's here. I rejoice in that. Heavenly Father, Lord, now what must be done for eternity must be done by You. It's not the work of man. Your Word is precious. It's powerful. And Lord, I pray that it would be used once again to stir hearts. I pray that hearts would be willing to be stirred. And so now, Lord, by Your grace, we ask that You do Your work in all of us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. There's a phrase that I heard years ago, and I like it. It says so much in three brief words. Behavior follows belief. Behavior follows belief. I've used it before, but I don't think I've used it for a long time. There's another phrase that kind of goes along with that a little bit. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Did y'all get that? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Could you go to Acts chapter 19? Almost all of what we're going to be looking at tonight comes from our reading this last week. When it comes to this, behavior follows belief. It was so evident in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, look at verse 15. We find an evil spirit in an individual that is being confronted by those who do not have Christ. They don't have the power of Christ, but they're trying to do the work of Christ. Watch this. Look at verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? When they confronted this evil spirit. By the way, there is a message. I don't know if it's on the internet, but if you can find it, listen to it. There was an incredibly godly man by the name of Lester Roloff that used to live, and he preached a message off of that verse entitled, Known in Hell. Known in Hell. Can you imagine impacting the world so much that the demons in hell know your name? Can you imagine that? I mean, I get a picture of the demons going, Mike who? You know? But when it came to Paul, whoa, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded and decided the very next day that they were going to take up another line of work. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. Now watch what happened. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. You see, behavior follows belief. Many of them also, which used curious arts, literally arts for demonic worship and such, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I read the story yesterday of a young lady who told her pastor father, "Dad, I want to go to Bible college. I believe the Lord is calling me to Bible college. But Dad, I want to go to our the mission house, this mission group that we support in Haiti. I know I'm only 18 years old, but could I please go and work there just 1 year?" Well, with fear and trepidation, the dad let his daughter go to Haiti. Now, he had told her, "Look, this is in the middle of some really rough place, and it's the middle of voodoo worship. Do you understand that? Now, you know what you're getting into. Dad, honestly, I know, but I believe the Lord would have me go." So this 18-year-old girl got on this airplane, and she took off. She's in this place. She's serving the Lord. There's not that many people where she's at that are Christians that are working. One night, she's the only one at the house. The only one. Somebody came and said, "Please help, please help, please help." Pregnancy, you know, and starts trying to explain to her, "There's a lady that's having a baby." She says, okay. So she goes to the house and she gets into the house, and here is this lady writhing on the floor in pain, on the floor. She's got a flashlight. That's what's going to help her deliver the baby. While she's working with this lady, a voodoo lady walks in, dressed in all the regalia that they have, and she starts casting her spell kind of thing doing, and got to the feet of this lady, and this young lady said, "This lady is staring at me, and just like she's staring holes through me." She said, "Dad, I didn't know what to do. So I just started singing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven." Now, she's singing in English. This lady doesn't understand it, but as soon as this young lady starts singing that, the woman, the voodoo lady, shrieks, grabs her stuff, and runs out the door. And she thought, praise God. She emailed her dad the details of this story. The dad said, the pastor dad said, "My first inclination was get on the first plane to Haiti, get over there and say, Lung lady, you're coming home." And then she thought, or then he thought, you know what? Praise God. Look what God is doing to my daughter. You know, that's an amen. Praise God. Hey, behavior follows belief. The same situation here. There are people that are saying, you know what? Ain't going there anymore. How's that song that we used to sing as teenagers? "Things I used to do, don't do them anymore." How many of you don't know that song? Okay, you're about to learn a song. "Things I used to do, don't do them anymore. Uh-uh. Things I used to do them anymore. Uh-uh. Things I used to don't do them anymore. It's been a great day since I've been born again. It's been a great, great day since I've been born. Great, great day since I've been born. It's been a great day since I've been born. It's been a great day since I've been born again." Used to sing that. That was a lot of fun. That was great. Come on, Grace, come here and help me sing. I'll get a few other people. Kathy, you can come up. You don't remember all of it? Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Now, listen. Now I want you to go to Nehemiah. This was part of our reading as well. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Let you know where we're at. Nehemiah chapter 4. Oh, there was so much. This was an absolute feast this last week. So I'm only able to get clips out of our reading. Again, behavior follows belief. We saw it in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, where salvation was evident. They said, here we are. Now, by the way, not everybody winds up giving up their sin like that when they trust Christ, when they get saved. But the work of God will see it through so that they're going, you know what? I'm putting this aside. But we saw this behavior follows belief with Nehemiah. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, these are servants of God working to do what God had commanded, had moved Nehemiah to do. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. What does that tell us? Hey, when you're in the Christian life, you are called to build and to battle. To build and to battle. That's another thing that we see. Behavior follows belief. Listen, there was building and battling in the book of Acts. We just saw that. This is not a call to reckless war. This is a call for the protection and the work that God has said, listen, this needs to take place. What they're doing physically in Nehemiah, we do spiritually here in the New Testament age. We build and we battle. There's battles going on all the time. I was talking to a young man that was visiting here this morning. And his pastor, he and I work together there at the Capitol. He's talking about how sometimes it gets discouraging to him when he hears this. No, don't get discouraged. This is the calling of God on us today. The Lord has called us to these things, building and battling. But once again, I want to remind you, behavior follows belief. What you have read, what you have studied, what you have meditated on, like we talked about this morning, it's going to come out in your life. Your belief dictates how you operate in your life when it comes to the lost, when it comes to holiness in the life, excuse me, when it comes to separation from the world, when it comes to all that. Again, behavior follows belief. Go to 1 John. We were in 1 John. Had the teenagers this morning a little bit in 1 John. I love this book. Absolutely love it. We see it with the apostles. You know, sometimes I think we get kind of used to reading these letters that John wrote, Peter wrote, James wrote, and especially Paul. When we think of James, Peter, James, and John, they were eyewitnesses. They were absolute eyewitnesses of what took place. Look at 1 John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen and heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Remember, I've studied this before. Remember what we talked about this here? That the attitude was this. John was saying, we peered intently into the life of Christ. We watched him. We discerned what he was doing. We listened to him. We watched him in the most minute ways live. We watched him work with people. This is what he's saying here. Look at verse 2. For the life was manifested. It was evident. It was before us. and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Watch this. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. So stop and consider this. When you're in the Word of God, what is being declared to you is the eyewitness accounts of those who are guided by the Holy Spirit to say, this was important here. Look at this. When you read of Jesus and Zacharias, Jesus and the woman at the well, Jesus and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. I mean, there's things that happen there that are so important. John tells us at the end of his gospel, I couldn't write everything that he did. I mean, I'm paraphrasing there. But here he's saying, these things, look at verse 4, these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Stepping back from the letter and just looking at John, once again, hey, your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And John's walk was there. It was there. Go two chapters later. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner, what literally, what foreign kind of love. This is not a normal love. Are you kidding? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. How many of you have recognized that the closer that you get to Christ, the more you grow, the more you study, the fact of the matter is, the more the world recedes. I mean, when we sing that song, this world is not my home, the roots are going deeper there. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Listen, think of that. For we shall see him as he is. Now, look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him does what? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Translate, behavior follows belief. The fact of the matter is, now that we are coming up on toward the end of the year, looking back at all that we have read, all that we have studied, all that you've heard preached, all that you've heard taught, all that you did yourself, all of that is reflecting in your life how you embraced it, how you desired it, how you have overcome, remember from this morning, knocking down barriers, increasing, increasing, increasing. Behavior follows belief. I wind up, and again, this is why I say it was a feast. One of the Psalms we read this last week was Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139. You needn't turn to it, but you know the last two verses of Psalm 139 are this. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Translate, behavior follows belief. He has opened himself up. He acknowledged the fact that the Lord knows him inside and out. By the way, can that be a little bit of a terrifying thought? You wind up having a wicked thought. You wind up doing something that you think, you know, that wasn't right, and the Lord was right there. He knows it. He knows what led up to it, and he knows how you're going to respond. Wow. But, again, David got to the point, like we were talking about this morning, God gave him time with the sheep, under the stars, to look at the sheep, look at the stars, to see the situation that he was in, to operate as a shepherd. It would make him a better king. God gave him that. And he, along with the other writers in the Psalms, stop and think what they said. Stop and think about it. Again, behavior follows belief. Now, having said all that, let's go to one more place where we read this last week. Let's go to the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi, obviously, you recognize as the last book of the Old Testament. There is so much that is written in Malachi. From the very beginning, it honestly is a heartbreak. I didn't find much when it came to Malachi and what his background was. I didn't really take the time. My focus was to be on this one particular passage that is in the title of the message. But you read from the very beginning in Malachi this, chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. What's he saying there? God has come to a man and he has said, I have something I want you to share with my people. It's a heartbreak as you read it through. I mean, you look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Have you ever done something for somebody that really was a sacrifice? I mean, it took something out of you to do it. And they didn't recognize it. Didn't recognize it. In fact, as you read Malachi, they scoffed at what God had done. They belittled it. They misused and abused it. And I can only think of this. If Israel can do this, what can a modern-day Christian do? Can we do the same thing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can. Now, that ought to concern us at the very least. But it was a burden. The Lord came to Malachi, and remember, Malachi is a Jew. He's going to speak to Jews, and he knows, being spoken to by a holy God, he's coming to these people, and oh my. Let's read a little bit of what he says. I have loved you, verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. By the way, love and hate are choices. God chose one over the other and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom said, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath an indignation forever. Hey, these people were in rebellion against God. The Lord says, sorry, what you try to do, I am not going to bless. But then he's talking to Israel. Look at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest, that despise my name. The preachers were in it. It's sad enough to have somebody kind of compromise here and there in the preaching just to get along. But when you have somebody get up and they are butchering the doctrines of the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, of salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, when they get up there and they're butchering these things, I think of that every time when I come here and I pass by that Kingdom Hall and I think, those dear people, I feel so sorry for them, because one day they are going to be in the midst of terror on this world and they're going to recognize that they've been lied to and they bought into the lie and they rejected Christ. That's just so sad. Verse 7, ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. Verse 8, And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? They had done that. Look at verse 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? In other words, you wouldn't get paid for it. They expect to get paid for anything and every little thing that they do. Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. Look at verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Look at the last verse in chapter 2. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Can you imagine God's people doing and saying these things? Can we do the same? You know, it really is worth asking, is there something that has crept into our ministry here at Faith Baptist that's the same? Even when we gather tonight, how much of our heart is being given to, by God's grace, desiring to know, Lord, what is it that you want me to know here? What is it? Because remember, behavior follows belief. You respond even tonight the way you truly believe God. Is he someone to be loved and revered and feared, or is he just kind of distant? Then in chapter 3, there's a passage that strikes me every time I come to this place when I'm reading my Bible. Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, preached a message on this, and I didn't go into, I'm not pulling details from his message here. We're going to look at this just briefly, but we're going to look at it. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Now, that's a good question. He's talking about tithes and offerings here. But can we rob God in more ways than that? Can we rob God of a life? Can we rob God of our love? Let's read this. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You know, if the God of heaven looks at you and says, you've sinned, just like David, oh my soul. In fact, you think of the difference between David, King David, and King Saul. King David, he knew. Saul, excuses. Let's read on. Wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, praise God, I know there are people in this building that have found that the Lord is faithful. When you're faithful with the tithe, He will meet your needs. Praise God for that. I rejoice in that. But that's not exactly the focus of what I'm bringing. I love that phrase, prove me now. And that's what I want us to really think about. That word prove comes from a Hebrew word that means to examine, to test, as if by fire. Now please catch this. The Lord is looking at us and He's saying, prove me. When's the last time we put God to the test? Like that. When is the last time, I get to thinking, when is the last time I went before the Lord and said, Lord, I know you're faithful, but there is something here, and Lord, I'm expecting you to act according to your promises. So he says, prove, put me to the test. These people had wandered all over the place away from God. And he said, just like Elijah on Mount Carmel, where we were at one time in Israel, you put me to the test. It's either Baal or it's God. Hey, remember when John Hutchison was here? He said about a life of ministry, we are to be living for the kingdom, not the American dream. It's either God or this world. Let's put it to the test. This is what the Lord is saying here. You prove me when it comes to meeting your needs. Prove me. Me. The I Am. The God of heaven. The creator and sustainer of the universe. But boy, here's one. Prove me. When? Now. How many of us are prepared to storm the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need it now? Can I just show you some things real quick? Again, this last week, the Lord was so dear to us. He comes to us and He says, know me. Go to John chapter 6, if you would. This was not in our reading, but I want you to see this very quickly. In the book of John, the Lord is doing this. He says, I want you to see how I portray myself and what benefit comes. In fact, I put it this way, the portrait and the prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, not P-H-E-T, the portrait and the prophet. Down through the book of John, the Lord presents Himself and says, here is who I am. This is what I will show myself to be for you. Go to John chapter 6. Look at verse 35. Here's the portrait. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. That's the portrait. What's the prophet? He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. There's the portrait. There's the prophet. Look at John chapter 8, two chapters over. Look at John chapter 8, verse 12. Here is the portrait, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. First it was, I am the bread of life. Now it's, I am the light of the world. What's the profit of that? What does that mean? So He's the light of the world. What does that mean? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's the profit. Two chapters over, John chapter 10. Look at verse 7. Here's the portrait. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Interesting picture. What's the prophet? Verse 9. I am the door. The prophet, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go out, go in and out, and find pasture. We started the first half of this message. Behavior follows belief. By God's grace, He's challenging us now. All right, if behavior follows belief, then prove me now. I'm the light. I'm the bread. I'm the door. Prove me now. You see? That's why I brought this in. Because if behavior follows belief, and it does, we saw the testimony of that, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in the book of 1 John. We saw that this last week. If that's the case, then hey, the Lord says, prove me now. Let's continue. Again, chapter 10, look at verse 11. Here's the portrait. I'm the good shepherd. All right, what does that mean? Here's the prophet. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Next chapter over, John chapter 11. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Wonderful words, Lord, but what does it mean? Here's the prophet. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Prove me now. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. A very familiar passage. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the profit? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I'm the truth. Postmodern Christianity says along with Pilate, what is truth? Last one. John 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Look at verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. That's the portrait, Lord. So what does that mean to us? Here's the prophet. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much fruit? Much. For without me, ye can do nothing. Can we go back to the book of Malachi, if we could, please? Malachi chapter 3. Here's the closing of this book, getting towards the end. God is challenging His people before the silent centuries come, before Christ comes and He's born. With us, we're looking back to it, but here's the challenge to us. What we just read about the portrait and the prophet, I would pray that our response would be like some of those in Israel that heard the challenge of Malachi. In fact, I would love it if our church in mass came like this. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Do you love Sundays? You know what I love? I love it when Sunday is alive on Tuesday afternoon or Thursday evening. In other words, This is what I like. We gather together and we hear this, but you know what's great? Is when people are talking about how good God is on Thursday. Because they just keep going back to the well. They just keep going back to the Word. And that resonates in them. Prove me now. Yes, Lord. Behavior follows belief. Yes, Lord. Yes. And the Lord said, when it came to these people that heard the challenge, heard the words of Malachi, there were some that said, you know what? Hey, we just sang about revival. Roger just had us sing about revival. You know when revival comes? When people come together and say, you know what? Let's pray. Like we did on Monday night. When we wind up getting together and instead of just talking about how bad things are politically, we talk about how good God is. We talk about what He's done. We talk about what He will do and how much we can trust Him. I mentioned, I kind of alluded to it before got up in the pulpit to preach that There were some of us that lived in a time when we got together and we have singspirations. How many of you remember a singspiration? Those times are great. Just get together and you just sing the old stuff. You sing stuff when people weren't paid to write music. It came out of the heart. And I'm not belittling, you know, everything that is written today. Please don't misunderstand it. But I mean, we would sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus and just make the rafters lift. Oh, that's great. And then just get together and talk about the Lord. And we sing the songs that are the challenge, like you had us sing. And boy, it speaks to the heart. You know, we don't live in the past. We live in the present by God's grace. But there, sadly, were some things left in the past that I wish were a little bit more in the present. I'm looking forward to the time of getting together with the church. And I don't care who else thinks it's boring. We sing the Christmas carols. We have a good, heartfelt Christmas Eve service where we are so glad that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I hope and pray that we walk out of here resonating with two phrases. The Lord telling us, "Prove me now." Only you know what the real deep situations are in your life. But He's saying, you know, trust me. And then us reminding ourselves of how we live and the fact that truly behavior follows belief. And with that, let's stand. Lord, thank You again for these folks being here. Thank You again for the fellowship that we have. Lord, I don't know what is going to be faced by all of us this next week, but we do know this, that You're faithful. It's incredible how the God of the universe can look to mere man and just say, "Prove me now. See if I'm faithful." Lord, thank You for Your love. I pray that Your love would be evident with each and every person in this room today. I pray that after we fellowship and we go our separate ways, that Your word, not the words of the preacher, but the words of the prophet, the words of the psalmist, would be resonating in our hearts through the week. And that our hearts would be resting in He who spoke to us and said, "Here I am. Here's the portrait that I give you of me. Here's what I do for you. Here's the prophet." And we rejoice in it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.